This is the Championship Chat Podcast, your home of news, views and debate from England's second tier.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Championship Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Elliot Jackson, football writer for Yorkshire Live, and alongside me, as always, is network desk writer George Smith and freelance football writer Tom Coates. How are we doing, guys?
I'm not too bad, mate. How's things with yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you, George. Tom, hello, welcome back.
Yeah, well, thank you. Good to be back on. I've missed it.
Yeah, it was good. We missed you last week, as always. Good to get you back together with us once again. Quick reminder, you can find the pod on Twitter and Instagram at ChampChatPod24. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast through your preferred provider to get the latest episode for free every single week. In today's episode, it is awards day, so we're going to be handing out our individual and collective teams of the season, player of the season, young player and manager of the season in this week's pod.
This is the Championship Chat Podcast.
This is always a good one we always enjoy, a good podcast to round off the season. We're going to run through our Championship teams of the season. We've all done one individually, we've not got like a collective team. We're going to have plenty of debate, no doubt, with George playing Lukas Jukovic as an inverted right wing back, or whatever concoction he's got for us today. But yeah, this is always a good one, always one I enjoy doing at the end of each season. So we'll start in goal then. Tom, I'm going to come to you first, because I've decided to. Who have you got in goal?
I feel like I've got quite a natural choice. I've gone for Tim Krul at Norwich. A little bit of an easy option, but obviously made it into the official one as well. I just think it's as simple as he's been tremendous in an excellent side. Obviously, Norwich defensively have been really resolute all season. I think as good as the individual defenders have been, I think Tim Krul's a massive reason for their solidity. You know, I think he's the type of player, especially with his level of experience now, he instills confidence in defenders, especially when some of them, like Max Aarons, for example, are relatively young still. And I think it's always good to have that, you know, calming presence. I think similar could have been said of Asmir Begovic before his playoff meltdown. But yeah, I think Tim Krul is just, he's a really calming presence. He's a really commanding goalkeeper as well. He's the type of keeper that if a ball's flung into the box and if it's within 8, 10 yards of him, that there's not a single other player that's going to get to that ball. And I think, like, you know, as a centre half, it's so reassuring when you know that your keeper is going to come and claim the ball. He's going to put himself in harm's way. He's going to dive at the feet of strikers and put himself in difficult situations. It's exactly the sort of bravery you want from a goalkeeper. And I think over the years, he's developed into a really excellent goalkeeper. Probably a bit too good for the Championship, if we're being honest. I think, realistically, he can play consistently well in the Premier League, as we've seen before, with Norwich and with Newcastle. And yeah, I'm glad that he'll be back in the Premier League this season. I'm good to see him getting regular opportunities with the Holland national team. And I think the fact that he's a regular for them says a lot about his ability.
Yeah, a fine choice. He was the pick of the PFA team of the season, the official one. He's not my pick, though. I've gone for Freddie Woodman in goal. I do like Woodman a lot. I like what I've seen from him, and I was really, really, really impressed with how he did in the playoff semi-finals. Less so in the final, obviously, because he brought down Brian Mbeumo for the penalty. But I've just been really impressed with him. He had a really good season last year, but I do feel like he's kicked on it to an extra level this year in terms of his how commanding he is of his own area. Takes all the pressure off his centre-backs when you've got a goalkeeper that can come out off his line and claim crosses into the box. And I just think he's been a really important part of that resolute Swansea defence. Certainly for the probably two-thirds of the season, the best defence in the Championship. So for me, I've gone for Freddie Woodman for those reasons. George, who have you gone for?
I've got to echo your views. I've gone for Freddie Woodman as well. I think he was probably the standout choice of a pretty good bunch that was available. And I think the stats speak for themselves. 21 clean sheets over the course of the season, the most of any keeper in the Championship. And still, arguably, in comparison to the rest, fairly young and has got a lot of potential ahead of him. For me, I do think he is a future England goalkeeper. I think certainly within the next couple of tournaments, he will be knocking on the door to get into the squad. But I just think he's been terrific this season. Like you say, he's kicked on from last season, took his game to the next level and been a really key figure in what was a pretty successful season for Swansea again, although it obviously ended in disappointment. But he played a key role in the success and that run to the playoff final. So for me, he's my choice to go in goal. And I think it's very interesting to see what happens for him this summer in regards to his future at Newcastle, because obviously Newcastle, we know, are pretty well stocked at goalkeeper in the goalkeeper department. So very interesting to see what happens for him. I don't think he'll be returning to Swansea though. But for me, he's my goalkeeper this season. Really impressive and a lot of potential within his locker.
Yeah, it seems like the one area of Newcastle's squad that they're actually, you know, so well bolstered and stocked in, when they've got Carl Darlow, who's been really good this season, but still got ousted by Dubravka, who's also excellent. And then they've got Freddie Woodman to come back into the fold. I'm interested to see where he potentially goes. I feel like a permanent move this summer. He needs to be playing regular football for me, so it'll be interesting to see what happens to him beyond the end of the season. We'll go back to you, George, for your right back.
Well, this was arguably one of the toughest decisions I had to make, both right back and left back. But in the end, I've decided on one. I've got a feeling we're going to have different ones for this, but I've gone with Kiko Femenia for Watford. Thought he had a really solid season. Thought he did pretty well in obviously what was a terrific second half of the campaign under Munoz, and really kicked on, showed his experience, and wasn't really a player at the start of the season that you thought was going to play a key role for them, but came into the side and did a really, really good job. Solid as a rock. Provided a little bit of threat going forward. And I just thought, out of the right backs that have been in the Championship this season and certainly been impressive, I think he was probably the pick of the bunch. And I think you've got to give honourable mentions to others, such as Max Aaron's had another terrific season at Norwich. But I think Femenia, for me, was just the one that edged it. And I think the fact that he wasn't really considered as a player that was going to play a key role this season for Watford, the fact that he's obviously helped them get promoted automatically and forced his way into this team of the season does him justice of how well he's done. So right back for me goes to Femenia, but I've got a sneaky feeling that opinions may differ on this one between the three of us.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a fair shout, though. Certainly in the second half of the season from Christmas, I think Femenia has definitely been one of the best right backs in the division. It's the old debate, isn't it? Do you do this team this season? How do you include it? Do they have to be consistent over the course of the season, or whether you can sort of chunk it up a little bit and go with that? But no, certainly since Christmas, I would say he's been a key role. He's had a key role for Watford, and been a key player for the team. So a fair shout. Tom, I'm going to come to you next. Where have you gone for right back?
I've gone for Max Aarons. George touched on him, and I just think he's been tremendous. I know it's another easy option considering I went for Tim Krul as well, but I just think he's absolutely superb in one-on-ones. When he attacks, he doesn't do it by half measures. He essentially operates as a full-on winger, but he's got the energy levels to do it, and I think he's a massive reason as to why Norwich have been a threat down that right-hand side alongside Buendia. And the way he's gone about his business this season says a lot about his mentality, because obviously last summer, it was a surprise that Aarons, amongst others, didn't get a move back to the Premier League when Norwich were relegated. Obviously, we were operating in a COVID transfer market, which strangled the funds a little bit, but it would have been easy for him to sit an angle for a big move. We've seen it before in recent years where players haven't got that move and they've sit and, you know, not really put a massive amount of effort in and just waited for that move to come along in January or the following year. But he's just got back to work and he's ended up being instrumental for Norwich in the title win. And I think that says a lot about him. And I think he's got an incredibly bright future. I wouldn't be surprised to see clubs circling around him this summer because I think he's a Premier League quality right back. And honestly, I think in a year or two, if England weren't so ridiculously stocked in the right back department, I think 10 years ago, Max Aarons is in the discussion for an England spot. Obviously now we are just ridiculously well stocked, but I do think he's a very, very good player.
Especially when you consider the fact that Southgate's quite likely to build at one point an 11 of pure right backs. He would be in the 11. He'd get in the starting 11 for right backs, I think. So that would be interesting. I'm going to buck the trend further, and we've got three different right backs here because I've gone for Connor Roberts to continue my Swansea City loving. 5 goals and 7 assists. This season, which I think is a really good return for a right wing back. He has predominantly obviously played as an offensive player down that right hand side in Swansea's three-man defence. It's a weird one because at the back end, obviously for the playoff games, he was on the bench, which was a weird one because they went for a flat 4 instead of the 3-5-2. And he went for a more experienced, perhaps a more defensively solid outlet with Kyle Norton. But for me, I think Connor Roberts has been the best right back in the Championship. I've really enjoyed watching him play. As I say, his end product and his output's really improved. He's full of energy down that right hand side, and I think he's really starting to establish himself as a key voice and a leader in that Swansea team now. And his numbers speak for themselves. As I say, 12 goal contributions from that right wing back spot's been really good. It was a little surprise to me that he came in for the playoff final because he is so good going forward. So you can play him on the right of a front three potentially as well. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of that. There is so many good right backs around at the minute. I'm trying to think of a club that might want him. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's interest in the summer. And I know Leeds, for example, are really well stocked that they've got Luke Ayley. But I could see him fitting perfectly in a team like that in the Premier League. And I don't think he'd look out of place. So for me, I've gone for Conor Roberts. And my first centre back is his partner in crime, Mark Guehi, who's my first centre back in. And I'd be shocked if we all don't have him, to be honest, because I think he's probably been the best centre back in the Championship this season. And that was certainly illustrated in the playoff games, where I thought he just dealt with Daryl DK and the physical threat of Barnsley really, really well. He's quick, he's strong, he's good across the ground. He's obviously very well skilled, bring the ball out from defence, obviously brought up it through the Chelsea Academy, and I think he's bound to play certainly at the top of the game in the Premier League. Maybe for Chelsea, maybe for England one day. You look how quickly like the likes of Ben White have escalated their careers into the England squad. It wouldn't shock me if in, maybe for the World Cup, Mark Guehi is in that sort of conversation if he has a really, really good season, if he's playing in the Premier League every week. So if I was any team like a mid-table side, I'd be going after him because I think Chelsea could be silly enough to let him go for a reasonable fee. And I think he would be one that the stock would rise immensely. If not, I hope he's playing on loan in the Premier League next year. If not, he needs to keep playing regular football. But the loan move to Swansea's done him so many good things for his career, because he was a player that had not really played that much first-team football. But it reminds me a lot of Tomori when he broke through at Derby. A lot of the same sort of key attributes. Maybe Tomori slightly less physically strong as Guehi is. I think Guehi's got a little bit more presence and commanding about him, but the same, you know, turn of pace, the same sort of defensive resilience, and I think he's been fantastic. For me, Guehi was a no brainer, and I'll do both centre backs actually. And next to him, I've sort of gone down the George Smith route of picking someone that's not played all season in Sir Alta at Watford. The impact again, I think that he's had. Everyone talks about Sissoko coming in, the change to 4-3-3, and that really obviously helped catapult Watford up the table and into second spot. But Sir Alta was key to the defensive improvements, and I think you only have to look at the record before Christmas defensively and the record after Christmas, and you'll see the impact he's had. It's quite baffling that he wasn't in the team before, to be honest, because of how calm he is, how assured he is. A little bit of devilment in him as well, as we saw with the Sean Morrison incident at Cardiff at the back end of the season as well. And I just think he's someone you would want in your team, someone you'd want in the trenches with you. And I think also, as if we were putting this team out on paper, on the pitch, I think Guehi and Sir Alta would be a lovely combination. I think they dovetail quite nicely. So for me, I've gone for Guehi and Sir Alta. Tom, who have you got at centre-back?
I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball in here because I don't have either of those. So we've gotten a little bit of variety early on. My first centre-half is Mikhail Helic at Barnsley. I've just been really impressed by him all season. I think he obviously, with Barnsley's surge into the top half of the league and eventually into the playoffs, it was the likes of Daryl DK and Alex Morta that were getting the plaudits. But I think Helic was a huge reason for their success. And obviously, he's been a great advert for Barnes' recruitment process because he came from absolutely nowhere. He wasn't known by people in England, but in that back three playing in the middle of it, I think he's been absolutely excellent. I think it says a lot about him that I think Mads Andersen, a young player who looked very nervy when he first came to Barnsley, looked very, very composed alongside Helic. He looked a lot more confident, and I think he has that impact on players around him. He can do direct, obviously that's a key aspect of Barnes' style, but he's also pretty adept with the ball at his feet, and I really rate him, and it's been no surprise to me to see over the last week or two that he's been featuring heavily for the Poland national team, who obviously have a good side. It's no mean feat to be a regular in that team, but I just think he's been absolutely superb, and he's my first centre-half. Am I doing my second one?
Yep, go from both.
Yeah. My second centre half is Grant Hanley at Norwich. Not a big, you know, not a fancy player. Not one who, he doesn't have a ceiling as high as Mark Guehi, for example. And I think it's interesting. When I was picking the team last night, I was flicking through Twitter, and literally as I was putting Hanley in my team, I was just seeing loads of Scotland fans absolutely slate him. And I think Grant Hanley gets a raw deal because obviously he was known for his own goals. He was known for being a little bit of a comedic defender sometimes in the Premier League. And by all accounts, I don't watch them much, but he doesn't turn in great performances for Scotland. But focusing solely on last season's Championship, he was a leader. He was galvanising the dressing room on a regular basis. And, you know, the way people associated with Norwich talk about him says everything you need to know about him as a character and a player. I think he's a massive reason the Norwich defence looked so organised and solid last season. He was the one marshalling everything. And I think it's difficult as a centre-half when your full-backs are so attacking, because I think it would have been easy for him to, you know, panic a little bit and try restrain the full-backs and bring them in a little bit. But he didn't. You know, he was adjusting things to accommodate for those attacking full-backs. And I just think he's just been really solid all season and played a massive part in a title win. So, yeah, he was a pretty natural choice for me alongside Helic. I did consider Gueye. I also considered Ethan Pinnock at Brentford. It was I think it was one of the most difficult positions on the pitch for me to pick. But yeah, I've gone with Helic and Hanley.
You've curveballed me a little bit with Helic, although fair justification given how well Barnsley have done. I'm not surprised by the Grant Hanley pick. He again was in the official PFA team, so not surprised by that. But I stand by Gueye and Serralta. George, who have you gone for?
Well, I'm going to take one each from both of yours too, and I'm going to go with Gueye and Helic. They've made my two centre-back spots, and like I think, Mark Gueye just absolutely outstanding for Swansea all season long, being terrific, and like you say, very kind of similarities to the situation Tomori had at Derby. He's come in on loan from Chelsea and obviously got potential about himself and has shown exactly what he can do. Sent a very clear message to Thomas Tuchel that this is what I can do. And I think for Gueye, the important thing for him now is obviously he's come off this season, terrific form, outstanding two playoff semi-finals. Obviously didn't quite go Swansea's way in the final, but he's played quite a few times this season in a back three, which is the system that Chelsea have adopted under Thomas Tuchel. It could seem tailor-made for that for the future. Of course, Chelsea are very well stocked in that area with numerous household names and world-class talents. But in years to come, maybe 1-2 years' time, he could be knocking on the door for a first-team place in that squad. And playing in a back three, it's only going to have built his experience ready for that. Obviously, the Premier League, top of the Premier League, is very different to the Championship. But I think he's got a massive, massive future ahead of him. And he's been terrific for Steve Cooper's side all season long. As for Helic, like Tom said, he's been outstanding that Barnsley side. Not necessarily the one reaping all the plaudits for what they've done this season, but he's been absolutely vital to what they have achieved. And like you say, alongside Mads Andersen, he's brought the best out of him. He's chipped in with 5 goals from the back, which is quite impressive for a centre-back over the course of a season. So for me, those two have been certainly up there as the very best in the division this season at centre-half. And I think you've got to give mentions to others like Grant Hanley. Like Tom said, he's had a good season, and there are others that could have snuck into this. I think this season, for me personally, I don't know about you two, I found it very difficult to nail an 11 this season. I think there's several players that have performed that well that could have got into this team.
I couldn't disagree more. I feel like it's been the most straightforward I feel like my team's picked... I was a bit short at left-back, potentially, there's a few options, but I feel like
totally
the rest of the team's picked itself for me.
Totally the other way, where I feel like I was looking at my team last night and thinking, how the hell have I left him out? How has he not got in there? But I've gone for those two at centre-half. Helic, terrific. Gueye, brilliant. And I think both of them have got massive potential ahead of them. And as for Gueye, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's not knocking on the door of Gareth Southgate's squad before too long. So looking pretty good for him. Bright future. So centre-back Helic and Gueye for this season.
Go on, do his left-back while you're there.
Right, left-back, I'm going to go with Callum Stiles of Barnsley, sticking with the South Yorkshire trend. And I know, obviously, it's not strictly speaking, he's not been an out-and-out left-back, but he's played left wing-back for the majority of the season, so I'm going to kind of sneak him in there. I don't think there's been many better in manning that left-hand side than what he's done this season. Been terrific. For me, he's been one of the most improved players in the division, and again, another one that played an integral role in a memorable season for Barnsley. And obviously, he added goals to his game. He was constantly bombing up and down that left flank, and just all-round terrific. And I think he stepped up so much, and Valerian Ismail brought the best out of him in ways that probably no Barnsley fan could have ever imagined. And I just think he's been absolutely terrific. And the left-back spot, I was umming and ahhing over a few names when picking the team, and I thought he is probably the one that deserves it just ahead of one or two others. So Callum Stiles for me, been really impressive, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's not a few clubs knocking on the door for his signature in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, there's certainly a club in West Yorkshire that could do with a left back. So interesting to see if Barnsley can keep hold of him. I think there will be interest in the summer, and I think he's pretty tailor-made as an investment for a Premier League club. I've gone for Omar Richards at left-back. I think he had a really, really strong start to the season in particular. And I think whilst Reading generally have dipped off because obviously they made that electric start with 7 wins and 1 draw in the first 8, I still feel that Richards has kept his standards high and he's been one of the better performers. I mean, he can't be that bad if he's earned a move to Bayern Munich after all. So it's not very often that happens in the Championship. But I just feel like when I weighed up the left-back options, I was thinking Mark Bowler had a very good start, but then he fell off quite a fair bit, as did Middlesbrough generally. Richards did really well at the start, and then I think he's been fairly consistent. Callum Stiles was a little bit in and out of the team at the start of the season, and he's played a few different roles, so that was sort of why I didn't go for him. And then, obviously, Norwich have not had a settled left-back because Giannoulis has been injured, and Sorensen's played there as well. Watford, Messina only came in at Christmas, so these were the few things I weighed up, and that's how I ended up with Omar Richards, who I think's had his best season of his career quite clearly, and it'll be interesting to see him battling against Alphonso Davies for that left-back spot. So that'll be certainly be an interesting one from playing with Lucas Schau to Robert Lewandowski, so he's quite the step up. But so yeah, he gets my left-back spot to complete my back four. Tom, who have you got?
I've gone for Rico Henry at Brentford. Obviously, he's not played much this season due to injury, but the fact he still gets in is a testament to his ability. I think it helped that he was an ever-present in that 21-match unbeaten streak, which I don't think can be underestimated. I think he ended up playing, I think it was 30 matches, which for me was just the threshold. As daft as it sounds, I think if he played 29, I'd probably go, oh, yeah, you can't include him, but the 3 just makes it look better. But yeah, he's been absolutely tremendous. He doesn't always get the plaudits I think he deserves in a team full of incredible talent, but, you know, he's such a reliable performer. He offers absolutely everything you'd want from a fullback. And I've been a massive fan of him since his Walsall days. I just think he's a player that every time you watch Brentford, you never have any concerns about his performance. And regardless of who he's coming up against on the right, you'd always back him to win a one-on-one duel. And more often than not, he does. And obviously he's only played 30 games, but I just think in those 30 games, he's been a very, very high-performing, consistent player for a team that eventually went up, so he was my choice.
Don't know how I feel about that after only playing 30 games. I think he's probably the best left-back in the Championship, like, just forgetting form. But I had 2 months out with a hamstring injury, so that's the only iffy part for me. But I understand the pick. As I say, I think he's probably is pound-for-pound the best left-back. If you're picking an ultimate Championship team, he'd probably go in at left-back, but injury record makes it a bit of an iffy one. We'll move on to midfield now. I don't know what formations everyone's got, actually. I'm 4-2-3. I'm 4-2-3-1. What have you gone for, Tom?
I've gone for a slightly modified version of yours, a bit more attacking, a 4-1-3-2.
Right, okay. And you've gone 4-4-2, haven't you, George?
Yes, I've gone boring and traditional.
Right. Well, I'll do my holding midfielders and you can do your two midfielders, George, and I ain't got a clue how we're going to break yours.
And can I do my one holding midfielder?
Yeah, you can do your right. So for me, I'll kick things off. I've gone for Oliver Skip and Alex Mowat of Barnsley, of course. And for me, I think they're quite easy picks for me. Skip's been really good for Norwich. And just touching on something you said, Tom, about the centre-backs in terms of Grant Hanley letting the fullbacks go forward, given how offensive they are and how attack-minded they are. Having someone like Skip in front of the back four to shield and protect, allowing the Aarons and Giannoulis to really get forward for me was a big part of that and why Norwich was still so good defensively. Again, it would be a great move for me if he went back to Norwich on loan again next year to play regularly in the Premier League. I think that would be a good for all parties, including Tottenham. And Alex Mowat, obviously we don't know where his future lies beyond the end of the season because obviously he's out of contract with Barnsley, but he's been the absolute heartbeat of everything that's been good about them. And I think they've been the two standouts for me. Mowat, obviously, his set plays and some of the goals he scored have been fantastic. And he really has been the driving heartbeat of that Barnsley side. And it's good to see him back, you know, at such a high level, because obviously when he broke onto the scene at Leeds, he was expected to be the next big thing, ended up in League One and getting released and leaving for short fees. So it's good to see him back on track and being now heavily attractive for a lot of Championship clubs. who will put a deal on the table for him. So it'll be interesting to see if Barnsley can keep him. My gut feeling is I think he probably will leave. I think he probably would have signed a new deal by now if he was going to. So Skip and Moa are the two for me. And I think that's actually, again, another nice blend of bite and flair in that midfield as well, if it was to play in a match. George, what have you got?
Well, as obviously I've got two central midfielders. One's a little bit defensive and one's a little bit more attack-minded. So I've got to match you up with Oliver Skip. For me, being one of the best players in the division this season, even though the statistics, certainly in goals and assists, don't show for that. But his range of passing, the way he's kept that Norwich defence in check, absolutely superb. He's got a massive future ahead of him, I think, at Tottenham Hotspur. And you can see why Norwich City fans were gushing over him so much. I just thought he was just a revelation in that side. Kept the midfield in check, passed the ball really, really well, and was almost the heartbeat of that Norwich City team. And obviously, Buendia, Pookie took the headlines for their goals and things like that. But for me, he was just so important in that side and making it tick. And you can understand why Norwich are so keen to re-sign him, potentially on another loan deal for this coming season. So for me, Oliver Skip has to be in there. I think he's been one of the best players in the Championship this season, without a doubt. Then is the other compatriot in the midfield, which I think might surprise you two, possibly. I've gone for Nick Powell. Really impressed by him this season. 12 goals, 3 assists. In a Stoke side that's not really performed that great. Obviously, they did flirt with the playoffs for a brief time and then fell away. But I think he deserves recognition for the season that he's had. He's plundered 12 goals, got 3 assists. I mean, it's not bad in 39 appearances. So, and obviously we know Nick Powell's a player with Premier League experience. He's played at Manchester United. Obviously, it didn't quite work out. But I think for a player of his quality in the Championship to be plucking numbers like that in a side that's not really performed speaks volumes about the talent that he has. So this season, think for me, the midfield two, Oliver Skip and Nick Powell, an English duo.
I'm surprised only in the fact that I didn't think you'd need any excuse to get another Barnsley player in there. So I'm surprised Mowat's not in there. And if you've got him on the left wing, I'm going to slap you.
He was on a list of candidates, put it that way. That's what I mean. There was a lot of candidates for this season. There really was.
Powell's had a very good individual season. If you look at his numbers, obviously, in terms of goals and assists, it's very good. For a very underwhelming Stoke side, I just think Stoke have been that bad. I don't think I could justify putting a Stoke player in there, to be honest. But individually, this is a team of the season, and individually, he's had a very good season. So I do understand that. Tom, who have you gone for? Who's your singular holding midfielder?
I've got to echo you. It's Oliver Skip. Again, just a really natural choice. I think he acts as such an excellent screen. He's young, but he shows really brilliant awareness and discipline in his position. I don't think you see that naive wandering that you get so often in young players. I mean, if a player comes into the Championship from a Premier League on loan, perhaps, and they're a holding midfielder, I feel like it's a bit of a trend with young defensive-minded midfielders or sitting midfielders where they have it in their game where they'll go wandering and lose the position and lose that awareness. But he's so disciplined in the way he goes about his business. He anticipates everything. He doesn't get drawn into one-on-one duels much because his positioning's so good and he's always first to latch onto loose balls. As part of his sitting role, you know, I think he helps Norwich build from the back really well, and he's been a pleasure to watch. And to be honest, you were talking about his future and potentially going back to Norwich on loan to play regular Premier League football. To be honest, I look at that Spurs side and I can sort of see him jumping above some in the pecking order, perhaps not this season, but like you know, maybe 6 months into this season, depending on how his development goes, I can see him perhaps getting ahead of the likes of, you know, Winks and Sissoko, who I don't think are world beaters. I think in the next, you know, 6 months to a year, if he keeps developing at the rate he is, I think he's got a chance.
I think it all depends on who Tottenham appoint, doesn't it, really? Which is,
yeah,
as you know, which is, my guess is as good as probably Daniel Levy's at this point with the amount of candidates there sieving through at the moment, from Pochettino's return to Antonio Conte failing spectacularly. So Spurs doing his Spurs. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he develops. I hope that he doesn't play a squad rotation role next year. I want to see him play regularly, so that means another loan at Norwich or an Aston Villa or whoever, somewhere like that. I would be well up for that. I'm trying to think how best to do this. Probably best keeping with another couple of yours, Tom. Maybe do your central attacking midfield and your striker together. So do your two wingers. I'll do my two wide players and then George can do his two wide players.
So we're doing my attacking midfielder and my two strikers?
No, leave them till last. Do your two wingers.
Just my attacking midfielder.
Well, you're playing 4-1-3-2, aren't you? So you've got two wide players still.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so attacking midfielder and two wide players.
No, I just want your wide players.
Oh, just my wide? I thought you said you wanted my attacking midfielder.
No,
right,
I said we'll put your attacking midfielder and your striker together, and so will I.
All right. Okay. So that makes sense. All right, no worries. So I don't think I'll be... I'll go with the obvious one first. I don't think I'm springing any surprises whatsoever that I'm going for Emi Buendia on the right. I think we've run out of superlatives to describe him this season. He's an absolutely magical player. I think it was a bit of a joke, really, that he was playing in the Championship because he was just an absolute class above. He was ranked number one in the division for assists, passes completed in the final third, big chances created and through balls completed. And, you know, it takes a special talent to do that, but that's exactly what he is. He obviously plays on the right, but, you know, the fluidity of his movement, his awareness of where his teammates are on the pitch, it's Premier League quality. And, you know, if this move to Aston Villa does materialise, which at this point it looks like it does, then it's a move that he fully deserves. And I think it says a lot about how good he is that when, you know, the news broke that he was, you know, on the verge of completing a move to Aston Villa and all those rumours were flying about, I think it says an awful lot about him that I was genuinely surprised that he wouldn't be playing in Europe and that he wasn't going to, you know, go to a slightly bigger club at the very top end, because I think his ceiling is that high that he has the potential to fit in at a side like that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And like you said, we've run out of superlatives to describe him this season. Like you just said there, he could have gone to arguably one of the top sides in the Premier League. Arsenal were very, very keen on him. I know that for a fact. But obviously, they couldn't offer him European football. So in a way, it's not really any difference to going to Aston Villa. But we, even though obviously Arsenal are not the club they used to be at the minute, you would still consider them as a bigger destination than Aston Villa. So it kind of speaks volumes about what he wants to do and what type of character he is, that he's not necessarily just gone for the purely of greed of money. And already you're thinking about the prospect of him and Jack Grealish linking up together, and that could be a special partnership. But completely agree with that. Buendia, outstanding this season.
Yeah, it were a very natural choice. I think for all three of us, really, it will have been the first one that we've gone for. And am I going to my left winger now, Al?
Yeah, I think I've got Buendia as well, and there's no point in me.
So
there's no point.
I'm assuming George has.
Yeah, there's no point all three of us eulogising over the best player of the Championship last year, and I echo what you said about. I just hope that, from an Aston Villa point of view, I hope he's not a Grealish replacement. I hope they get to play together. I don't think he is either. I don't think he will, because I don't see anyone paying £80 million for Jack Grealish.
No,
and
I don't.
I think that's where they value him at. So it'll be good to see him make that step up. Again, it's the Norwich model. We've seen him do so well in the Championship. They've got the big fee for him. No doubt they'll reinvest that, and hopefully they reinvest it wisely, which they obviously have done so well. But I hope we don't get another case where they sort of recoup that money and don't give Daniel Farke much of a chance, because that's what they did last time they're in the Premier League. Sorry, so I hope they have a good crack at spending a little bit of that money. Well, I hope they spend all that money, really, and a bit more, because they do need strengthening. There's no point. Oh, I agree about the sustainability, but there is no point if you aren't going to at least have a go when you're in the Premier League to a certain extent.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going on to my left winger. I've gone for Arno Danjuma. I think he was just, you know, I think he was the catalyst for that streak of form Bournemouth went on under Jonathan Woodgate, because I think they hit a point in the season when Woodgate came in when I certainly envisaged Bournemouth falling away a little bit, and certainly falling outside the playoffs, because I looked at the teams around them and, you know, they were gathering momentum really quickly, and Bournemouth just seemed to be in a really weird place as a club after obviously it didn't work out with Jason Tindall. But I think Danjuma was one of those players that sort of looked around and just thought, you know what, I'm going to take games by the scruff of the neck. We aren't falling away. We're going to push on and we're going to make it into the playoffs. And obviously it didn't end up coming off for them, but I thought he was absolutely tremendous. Obviously he joined Bournemouth when they were in the Premier League and didn't particularly set the world alight. And I think obviously when they dropped into the Championship, there will have been a lot of question marks over the future of a lot of the players that dropped into the second tier with them, because obviously usually there's a lot of departures. But Danjuma, I think similarly to Max Ahrens, could have left very, very easily, but instead, you know, he just got straight back to work, was humble about it, and he's been absolutely tremendous all season. And I sort of worry that they won't be able to keep hold of him this summer, because they'll have to balance the books. But yeah, he's been absolutely tremendous. And on the left wing, he was a pretty natural choice for me. I've seen a bit of Bournemouth last season, and every time I saw him, every time he got the ball, it obviously there wasn't fans in the ground, but the few members of the press, etc., that were, you know, people getting on the feet and then thinking something was going to happen, because he's just such an exciting player. And as a neutral, he's fantastic to watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he's my left winger as well. And I think that you know, the numbers go really under the radar. I mean, 17 goals, 17 and 7 assists, sorry, so 24 goal contributions. He only started 31 games. So his numbers are, in terms of, like, goal contribution per game, are up there with Buendia's. Well, they are better than Buendia's, to be honest. And I feel like he was so obviously Bournemouth's star player. I would be shocked if he's playing in the Championship next year. He shouldn't be. And I think most Premier League clubs... I think, you know, Buendia's obviously definitely been the star man this year, and I'm not doubting that, and he is the best player in the Championship. But, you know, if Danjuma had been fit all season, and in terms of their ceilings to play in the Premier League, I think Danjuma could be just as good, really. At 24, already played for Holland, the national team, his national team. And for me, I think him and Buendia are two players that really could go to the top. You look at, like, someone like Riyad Mahrez has built the way up, and now is just one of Man City's best players. I could see both of them potentially having that sort of rise. I know it's a big statement, but you know, you try and predict these things and look who's got the characteristics. And for me, it's the composure in his finishing that stands out for me. How many goals has he scored coming in from that left-hand side with that calm place finish into the bottom right-hand corner, like he did in the playoffs against Brentford in the first leg? And when he ran through in the second leg, you know, he had to travel 80 yards with the ball and then finish. I didn't think for a second he was going to miss against a very good goalkeeper in David Breyer as well. Although it was gifted to him by some very sloppy and naive Brentford defending, you just never thought he was going to miss. And it's that composure and that coolness in front of goal that makes me think he will score goals at whatever level he plays at, as a wide forward. And I think if I was any sort of Premier League side looking to you know, disrupt the top half of the table and maybe push those European places, you if you want another gem, Danjuma is there. Go and get him. 15 million quid, 20 million quid, you might get him. And so for me, I think he's certainly got the same potential as Buendia has, and I'm excited to see, hopefully, him get a Premier League move and see how he kicks on. But so for me, I think the numbers have gone under the radar a little bit. I think because he had an injury in the middle part of the season, didn't he? And he was out for a little bit. And that's when Bournemouth dipped. And then he became their real match winner and star again. And it was just a reminder of how good he is. So for me, Danjuma, a definite pick for the left-hand side. George, who have you got?
Well, I've got to echo you two with Arnaut Danjuma being sensational for all the reasons that you two have suggested. He's just been ideally Bournemouth talisman, and he's just been at times the carrier of that team, certainly in that run they put together towards the end of the season to get into the top six. And like you say, in comparison to Buendia, they're very, very similar players, very gifted, very technical. And I think, like you've said, had Danjuma been fit all season long, he could have potentially got close to the numbers that Buendia produced. And I don't think there is going to be any doubt about it that he is going to be playing in the Premier League next season. How much Bournemouth are going to be willing to accept to let him go, I don't know. But he's too good to be playing in this league. He's been terrific. And I've got to be honest with you, I didn't know very, very much about him at all at the start of this season. And he's grown to be one of the players that I've kept a very close eye on all season long. And for me, Premier League player in the waiting, been absolutely superb. And Bournemouth, how they replace him, if he goes, is another matter, because I don't think there's many like him that can do a similar job. Certainly one of the best in the Championship for sure this season.
Yeah, he struggled, didn't he, in his debut season in the Premier League. And he didn't kick up a fuss and try and leave or anything like that, as we often see players do. He's knuckled down and show why he's got Premier League quality and why they bought him in the first place. We'll go to your strikers now, George. Who have you got up front?
Well, obviously, one man that has to be in there that we're all going to have is a certain Ivan Toney. Absolutely sensational Championship Golden Boot winner, smashed through the 30 goal barrier. Sensational, amazing predator. There's so many ways to sum him up. He's just been superb all season long and will go down without doubt as one of the best performances we've seen from a striker in Championship history. Obviously drafted in to fill the boots of Ollie Watkins, no pressure there, and stepped up like he would never could have imagined. Sensational. And I think the fact that Brentford have got promoted now is obviously music to their ears, that they're going to be able to at least put up a stronger fight to keep hold of him. I think had they not got over the line this time, they would have had a very, very difficult task in retaining his services for another 12 months or so. But sensational. And again, it just proves the Brentford model. Lose a terrific player, bring in another one off the production line, and they just get it right time and time again. In terms of the man that's gone alongside him, it was a toss-up between three options, but in the end, I had to go with Adam Armstrong. Absolutely brilliant for Blackburn Rovers again. And he's a player that I've admired for quite a few seasons now, even when he was back on loan at Coventry several years ago, and then at Barnsley as well. Terrific pace, lethal finisher, can shoot from outside the box. Certainly knows how to put a hat-trick away as well in the latter stages of the season. Did that a couple of times, and just an all-round brilliant striker. And I think he's another one that will be certainly looking to get into the Premier League next season in terms of a move this summer. I think he's proven now that he's ready to make that step up. He's fought his way back through the leagues after starting at Newcastle. And yeah, he's just been absolutely terrific. And like I say, I think very similar to Nick Powell's situation, the Blackburn side that have underperformed, and he's just produced the goods time and time and time again. And obviously, he's had help in hand from the likes of Harvey Elliott, Ben Brereton around him and things like that. But overall, sensational, and Blackburn's player of the season in every single department. So a brilliant season for him. But honourable mention, you've got to give obviously to Timo Pukki, another brilliant season for him. Andre Ayew as well, I think you've got to give another mention too. So there's certainly players that ran it close to get into those two positions. But for me, Tony and Armstrong, the standout candidates.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you take out penalties this season, Adam Armstrong would have finished as the division's top goalscorer. So hard to argue that he hasn't deserved his place in the team. He's not in my team because I've gone 4-2-3-1. And as my number 10, I've got Michael Elise, which probably isn't a massive shock to everyone because he's been the best young player in the Championship this season. He won the Young Player of the Year award, and rightly so. Another one that, if that £8 million rumoured release clause is true, there should be about 20 Premier League clubs knocking on the door to sign him, pretty much. He's been fantastic, a real breakthrough star. He's so composed as well, and it's that eye for a killer pass. And obviously, he's done well with his numbers as well in terms of getting goals as well for such a young player. But it's just the composure to pick the right pass in the final third, and even from deep at times where he's dropped into central, deeper areas to link the play and then move the ball forward and progress through the lines. He's really good at that, and he's been great. And, you know, 7 goals and 12 assists in I know he played a little bit last season, but your real first breakthrough debut Championship season, to get 19 goal contributions for a Reading side that were tipped by nobody, and obviously just fell short of the playoffs. But I think he's been a standout star, and at 19 years old, he's only going to get better. So I think Reading will lose him to genuinely any club in the world that might fancy him, and then loan him back out potentially, depending who. I don't think there's a club in the world that shouldn't be looking to buy him, because it won't cost you a bucket load, and there's so much potential and talent there, and obviously you could loan him back out. I just think he's one of those players that could genuinely go right to the top. So for me, a no-brainer to get him in the team. And then Ivan Toney, George has said pretty much everything there is to say about him, so I'll not drivel on. But a fantastic season for him again. Such an array of finishing, right foot, left foot, headers, penalties. Obviously, he's got a certain style. It would make me nervous personally, but he does it at aplomb, and that seems to be the way nowadays. To be fair, when you watch like Jorginho or Bruno Fernandes take theirs as well, so he's had a phenomenal 2 years. Obviously, having hit the highest goal scoring charts for Peterborough in League One, and then he seamlessly made that jump up and become the first player to score over 30 goals since Glenn Murray for Brighton. So he's got to be up there with one of the best strikers the Championship's seen in terms of goals. Absolutely, you can't argue with the numbers. So Tony, no brainer, and for me, Michael Elise as well. Tom, who have you got as your two attacking positions?
Very boring here, so I'll go through my attacking midfielder and my two strikers, but I've not really been left with an awful lot to say, because we'll start with my attacking midfielder. It's Michael Elise. Completely agree with everything you just said. I mean, to play such a prominent role in a side at 19 is a huge achievement, and in every Reading game he looks like the one who's going to make something happen, who's going to unlock that door. You know, he's an excellent ball carrier, draws fouls, picks pockets of space so well for a player of his age, and you know, his passing accuracy is excellent as well, and he was a really natural choice for me at number 10. And you're completely right in that, for if there is, did you say 8 million buyout clause?
That's what's been rumoured and reported. I don't know how true it is, and it probably isn't true, because otherwise you'd expect that a deal would have been done already by now.
If that's true, then it's daft. Really, really daft. But yeah, excuse me. My strikers, Ivan Toney and Adam Armstrong. There's not an awful lot for me to add. They're both just excellent, excellent players at this level. Obviously, Ivan Toney will now be making the transition into the Premier League, and his career is just enjoying a real meteoric rise after the disappointment of being let go by Newcastle. Adam Armstrong, he's got a bit of everything to his game. I think this is the most rounded Adam Armstrong we've seen. I think obviously he's been threatening to be unbelievable for years, and I think over the last two especially we've seen a really, really top-level championship striker. And for me, yeah, it didn't... I think it says a lot for how good they've been that I've very easily left out Teemu Pukki. And Kiefer Moore as well. I think Kiefer Moore deserves plaudits. His numbers this season have been really good. And I think in a championship less stocked with quality, Pukki and Moore would have walked into the side, as would a couple others. But yeah, for that, my attacking midfield and strikers, it was relatively easy.
Yeah, I agree with all that. So not a huge surprise with those names. So let's do a quick roundup. So my team: Woodman in goal, Roberts, Guéhit, Serralta, and Omar Richards as the back four. Skip and Mowat in front of the back four, and then Buendia, Elise, and Dan Juma all in behind Ivan. Tony, George, run us through your 11.
Well, it's Freddie Woodman between the sticks, and then from right to left of the back four, it's Kiko Femenia, Michael Helic, Mark Guéhit, and Callum Stiles. Midfield is the main man, Emi Buendia, Oliver Skip, Nick Powell, and Arnaud Danjuma. And then up top, it's Adam Armstrong with another man of the moment, Ivan Toney.
Same for you, Tom.
Yep, got Tim Krul in net, Max Aarons at right back. My centre-half pairing is Grant Hanley and Mikael Helic. My left back is Rico Henry. Oliver Skip's on his own in central midfield as in a holding role. Then you've got Buendia on the right wing, Danjuma on the left wing. Michael Elise is your attacking midfielder, and my strike partnership is Ivan Toney and Adam Armstrong.
Perfect. And that will move on now to our individual categories. So we've got Player of the Season, Young Player of the Season, and Manager of the Season, which I have concerns that we may all have the same three, and I'd be surprised if we don't. Obviously, Emi Buendia should be Player of the Year. I assume he's everyone's Player of the Year.
Yep.
So we're not bore everyone with that. Young Player of the Year, I've got Michael Elise. Any objections or variations on that?
Absolutely not. I've got Michael Elise as well.
Not your choice. Go on then, George.
Not my choice, purely because he didn't make my team. So I've gone with Oliver Skip just to make it sound sensible in the approach to my team. So even though Elise is probably running very, very close, and I just thought Skip being in the team for me made more sense to you in that Young Player Award. But both have been exceptional. Both would be worthy winners. So I don't think either of us can have any arguments on that one.
No, fair enough. Skip has been very good, and he was in all our teams, so he's had a great year. And Manager of the Season, Valerian Ismail, for me,
yep.
An easy choice. Yep. I know, George, yeah, there's no chance George hasn't gone for him. Just a few words on him, George, because we've not spoke about him yet. What a great job he's done.
Sensational, absolutely sensational. We think about it, this time last year, we were just getting ready for the season to resume, and Barnsley were on the brink of going down, took it to the final day, pretty much the final kick of the season, survived, and obviously then went through a managerial change. Valerian Ismail came in, a complete unknown to English management, and the rest is history, as they say. He's been absolutely superb. He's got the team playing in a style that's just suited them down to the ground. He's found a way to win games. They've broke records for themselves at this level, and ultimately, yeah, it ended in disappointment against Swansea in the playoff semi-finals, but what Barnsley fan would have even dreamt of that happening back in September? Not a single one of them. So for me, yeah, on paper, they've not achieved anything, whereas Norwich, Brentford and Watford have won promotion. Barnsley haven't achieved anything in that sense, but what they have achieved is defying expectations and producing one of the great championship fairy tales of recent years. So Valerian Ismail, for me, the manager of the season. I'm surprised he didn't get it in the actual EFL awards, but for me, without a doubt, the standout candidate. Terrific job, and long may it continue. Looking forward to seeing what Barnsley do next season. I think it's going to be one of the clubs to watch with great intrigue.
Yeah, hopefully he gets some backing perhaps in the market, especially if they lose Mowat, and obviously Daryl Dico's returned to Orlando City. So hopefully he gets a good crack at things. But that does round off this week's episode of the Championship Chat podcast, an episode we always enjoy doing and reading off our teams. The season creates plenty of good debate and content, so please do drop us a line on Twitter at ChampChatPod24, on Instagram or Twitter, and let us know your teams, your picks for player, young player, manager of the season. It'd be great to hear those and have a little bit of debate online. So drop us a follow, drop us your teams, and we'll see how many different variations we can get. As always, you can donate and support this podcast with our Ko-fi page, where you can make a one-off donation of just £3 to help us towards bringing you weekly podcasts throughout this entire season and the summer. Your support is very much appreciated, and you can find links on Twitter and Instagram pages at ChampChatPod24. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be back, no doubt, with another podcast next week as we head into the Euros and hopefully a good summer with the weather brightening up a lot throughout June. Thanks very much once again for listening, and we'll catch you again very soon.
This is the Championship Chat Podcast, your home of news, views, and debate from England's second tier.